We'll begin reading in Jude, verse 1, and read the 25 verses together tonight. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, I looked at that word multiplied just now, and it made me think of something that I said a while back. If God's wanting to multiply, then you can mark it down. The devil's wanting to divide. If God's wanting to add, you can mark it down. The devil's wanting to subtract. And he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. As I was meditating, this is where the message was birthed in my heart. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and are perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. There's a word that just keeps popping up over and over and over. You see it? Ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. And he said, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Then he uses the word, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. If correctly read, we just read the book of Jude. Let's pray together and we'll dive in here tonight and see what God would have us to see. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the precious word of God. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would clothe us once again in our calling and help us, our Father, as we examine this scripture tonight. Lord, I know that, Lord, we've been talking about the days of Noah and the days, Lord, of Lot. And Lord, it seems as if tonight you've brought us to this book just to reemphasize and remagnify some of those truths that are leaning into and leading to the last of the last days. Lord, we pray tonight that you would just touch us and help us, and God will give you glory for all you do. Save the lost. Bless our teenagers, Lord, over on one side and the kids over on the other side. I pray, Lord, they'd have great lessons tonight, be able to take something home with them, take something to school with them, Lord, that it'd help them to be a light for Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen. I wrote down one word when I thought about the book of Jude, and that was the word contrast. There's a stark contrast going on in the book of Jude. You have three verses here that Jude gets started off talking about the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about we as God's people earnestly contending for the faith. And then it's like you can draw a line right there. And then he goes off on the other side, over on the ungodly side. And then he comes back in verse number 20 to the side of God's people, to the side of the godly. I want to introduce the message tonight by thinking about something. And some of you may have a hard time this first thing understanding, but you can take my word for it. And some of the men can probably say amen. But what I believe is happening in our generation is that God, in his word, he always wants to have a clear line. And what's happening, I believe, in our generation is that the enemy wants to blur the lines. It's kind of like, kind of the same as what we used to say, well, you have black and then you have white, but we're living in a generation where they're no longer one. I'm not talking race now. I'm just talking about a black and a white, and there's everything's gray. You know what I mean? There's no absolute right. There's no absolute wrong. When we know in the Word of God there are absolutes. And there is an absolute right, there is an absolute wrong. And I believe that one of the dangers of our day in the home, in the life of the individual, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, in the house of God, one of the dangers is when the lines begin to blur. I was thinking, a while ago, and I'm not fussing. Listen, I'm not fussing tonight, but I was thinking we were on our way to church and we passed another church. I won't even say what kind of church. It would shock you if I said what kind of church, maybe. But there, somebody was carrying their Bible, and it wasn't Van Children, but it was put in my heart sitting right there. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to start working with our kids that are teaching the kids. Listen, teaching our Van Children that there's a certain way we ought to dress when we come to church. Amen. That's on pastor to go over there and try to teach them and encourage them. Now, we're not going to beat them over the head with a stick, but we passed the church. And if I told you what church, you wouldn't believe it. But they were going in with their Bibles in short shorts. Are you listening to me? The lines are being blurred. Amen.
And I believe that the enemy wants the lines to be blurred. Brother John and I went to a revival at a church, I guess not long after I was here. And Brother John was heartbroken. He was disheartened by the ladies and the way they dressed. But I tell you what they were in was a whole lot better than what we saw a while ago. But listen, it's still the blurring of the lines. Amen. And honestly, it's in my heart just to say this. Sometimes I think of what's going on in our country. Listen, you can get mad at me tonight if you want to. But I believe when the lines begin to be blurred, it was years ago between male and female. Say amen. And I believe when the lines begin to get blurred, you end up with the mess that we're in today. Amen. God created a male and female. When I asked Amanda what she was going to have, she didn't say, "We don't know." She said, "It's a boy." Amen. They can take a little picture in there and tell that it's a boy before it ever comes out. And it's always a boy or a girl. Amen. Now, I'm not going to park there long, but I'm just telling you, that's one of the ways the lines are being blurred. Amen. And it's been going on for some time. It's been going on for some time. But now listen, I believe tonight that what I want to tell you first is I noticed something, and my dad would like what I'm about to say, but I noticed something years ago. Brother Ralph, when I picked up Daddy's rifle, honey, there's a thing in the middle of it called a crosshair. And I guess the technical term for it is the reticle. And there's a crosshair in the middle of it. And I would pick up Daddy's gun, and I'd say, "Good night, Daddy. How in the world do you ever shoot anything with that?" Because, Brother Rose, the crosshair was so blurry. You see, I was young. He was old. And now when my son picks up my rifle, he says, "Daddy, how in the world do you ever see?" You see, there's a thing, I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's on the back of the scope, on the eye end of the scope, the eyepiece. There's a thing there that you turn. It does not focus the target that you're aiming at. It focuses the reticle. They even encourage you to put it against a white background or put it against the sky and focus. And boy, I tell you, you can see that reticle. It looked like blurry, 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 and it starts to clear up, Brother Steve. And all of a sudden, those lines are just as clear and crisp and sharp. And honey, right there's where you want it. Amen. Because you can now see a dime at 100 yards. And if you're good, you can hit it. Amen. But listen, what you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? One of the things that causes the lines to blur is when things are out of focus. When we begin to focus where God is not focusing, then the lines begin to blur. But when we begin to focus where God is focusing, then the lines become clear and they become sharp. Now, there's another thing. I'm just giving you this by way of introduction. I didn't think I had 10 minutes and I've done been 15. But listen, the next thing, I have a printer in my office. The next thing that causes the line to blur, the lines to blur, is alignment. How many's with me? How many knows enough about that computer stuff to know what I'm talking about? See, whenever you put your new little cartridge in there, your ink cartridge, then it tells you that you need to print the alignment page. Amen, Brother Arnold. I'm about to get excited right here. And then what you got to do is take that alignment page that you printed, put it up on top, and let the printer read it. And what that does, it makes sure that everything is, and makes adjustments to align everything so that the letters and the lines are clear and crisp and sharp and not blurred. I'll tell you another thing that causes the lines to blur: when we get out of alignment. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right here. Right here's a book that's clear. Right here's a book that's sharp. And if we'll line up with this book, amen, the lines will never blur. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, here in the book of Jude, there's some people that I want to look at tonight. And I've got seven little things here to look at tonight, just for a few minutes. But I want to start with that first three verses, jump off in the middle verses, and then go to the last five or one, two, three, six verses, verse 20 through 25 real quickly. But I mean this tonight. Listen to me carefully. If you will notice the enemy of God's church, the enemy of God's people, the enemy is forever trying to blur the lines. You see, when we legalized alcohol in America and said, well, what we need to do is get the revenue from it. I mean, actually, we can send people to school. They can get a better education. Let me just stop and make a statement. I'd give the preacher credit. You can look it up. If I could remember, I'd give him credit. But a preacher said this, and I memorized it years ago. He said, it's never right to do wrong in order to have an opportunity to do right. It's never right to do wrong in order to have an opportunity to do right. In other words, it wouldn't be right for me to steal $100 from you tonight so that I could pay my tithe Sunday. How's that? That's just one example. So is it right to put liquor to a man's lips so that you can take the revenue off of the other end and do something good with it? It's not. The lines are blurred. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm trying to quit and go on, but listen to me. When they take a picture of that down inside that mama's little womb, honey, I'm going to tell you what. This generation might have blurred that line, but there's a God in heaven that sees clearly what's right inside of there. And it's not a blob. It's not a hunk of something. Say amen. It's a baby. It's a living soul. You see how our generation's doing? Let's just blur it up. Let's muddy the water. Let's blur the lines. Now God has a word for us tonight. He said, while that's going on, I want my people to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I believe tonight, the people that we see here tonight, you and I, we need to understand and realize that we have an enemy. That, you know, the word in verse number 20, but. The word in verse number 1, Jude, the servant. Those three words of Jesus Christ. The enemy wants to blur the lines between those first three verses, those last six verses, and what's going on in the middle of this book. The enemy, one man said it like this. He said, we're living in a day when the church has gotten so worldly and the world has gotten so churchy that you can't hardly tell the difference. Oh, I tell you, God deliver us from that. Amen. 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 I mean, things, rock concerts going on in the house of God. And people say, well, that's what you got to have to get the young people in. I say hogwash. There's nothing wrong with having a fellowship. We're getting ready to have homecoming. But honey, if you have to feed somebody every Sunday to get them to come to the house of God, that's what Paul meant when he said you might order to stay at home. Eat at the house. I believe with all of my heart, the enemy's trying to blur the lines. Blur the lines. I like that song, I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Brother Houston, I don't know what you told that feller sitting in there. But I got an idea. He looked at me last night when we shook hands and departed. And he said, brother, I love the old time way. And I looked at him and said, "Brother, you'll fit right in. Amen." You see, our church is not for everybody. We need to get settled on that right there. It's not for everybody. But I tell you what, if there's somebody that loves Jesus and just loves the old time way, they don't want to sing 55 minutes and preach 5 minutes. Help me. Somebody told me that a while back, Brother Ralph, and I said, "I've got a choir director that's all the time saying, we'll just do one. If it's cutting in on your time, brother, we don't want to cut in on your time." And I said, "No, brother, sing, amen, it's God's time." But there needs to be a balance. The old enemy wants to blur it all up. Well, let's get started. I see some people here, number one, who are contenders. Contenders, earnestly contending for the faith. And I see here these people that are contenders. Let me give you three things about them real quickly. Number one, they're servants. The ones that are earnestly contending for the faith are always servants. They're not looking for somebody to do something for them. They're looking for something to do for somebody else. One of the things that's happened to our nation is it's no longer a nation, "What can I do for my country?" But what can my country do for me? And I believe with all of my heart, when you look at this, it's contrast. You see people who are contenders. Those people are servants. A servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. And then not only those people servants, but those people are sanctified. Sanctified by God the Father. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" It means they've been set apart. God said, "Hey, I have something special in mind for you." I wish every young person that's saved by the grace of God would understand that God set them apart. Amen? And that He has something special for them in their life. And He not only has something special, He has someone special. God wants sanctified to get with sanctified. Somebody help me tonight. And serve the Lord with their life. They're servants. The people who are contenders are servants. And the people who are contenders are sanctified. The people who are contenders are secure. The Bible said here they're preserved in Jesus Christ. And they're called. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad tonight to be a part of these first three verses. I don't want to live my life in such a way that you can't tell the difference in my life between the first three verses and verse four. I don't want to live my life in such a way that you can't tell the difference between verse four through verse number 19 and verse number 20. That's what the Bible meant when it said, "Walk in the newness of life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Tonight, there are people who are contenders. The second thing I see tonight, we come on down in verse number 4. There are people that will creep in. Let me give you something tonight. Listen. Bible Way Baptist Church, please, let's all be aware right here. They're not creeping into the bar room. They're not creeping into the dance hall. They're trying to creep in among the brethren. Certain men, unaware. In other words, they don't come in and stand up and square their shoulders back, Brother John, and say, "I've got some false doctrine I want to teach." You'll like this. I was just going to say this for fun. If you watch the news, we might have to exercise our Second Amendment right. Yeah, amen. Oh, goodness, don't look at me like that. Amen. Amen. No, they don't do that. They come in like snakes on their belly. They creep in unaware. I'll tell you something right now. I heard a story this church years ago. I pray God give me enough grace. God give me enough backbone. God, give me enough men that'll stand firm with me. I heard a story years ago where the pastor, Brother Jack, had to deal with someone, one of them that crept in. Are you listening to me? And I've heard different men have told me that Brother Jack said, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm going to tell you something right now. If a pastor loves his people, he'll protect his people from the likes of such. If it cost him his life, that's what a shepherd is. Amen. They creep in. People that creep in, they deny God. The Bible said certain men crept in unaware who were of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, no, preacher, surely they wouldn't nobody come in like it. Let me just say this. When you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, now, a lot of people can get there. Oh, yeah, I believe he's the Son of God. But in Jesus being the Son of God, his name was Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God incarnate. God in the flesh. I'm going to tell you something right now. In so-called Christian circles, there's a whole lot of folk don't believe that. Amen? We believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. These three are one. We believe that. Amen? You say, well, explain it. I can't explain electricity, but it doesn't keep me from flipping the switch and turning the lights on. Amen? And I believe tonight that there are things that you don't explain. But if you believe the Bible, you believe it. Let us make man in our own image. God is a triune being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Man is a triune being made up of body, soul, and spirit in the image of God. People who are contenders. There's people that will creep in. They'll deny God. Then the Bible said in verse number 6, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Not only are there people that deny God, but there are people that defy God. That's what the sons of Korah did. Moses, who do you think you are? It wasn't who Moses thought he was. It's who God said he was. The earth opened up, swallowed up the gainsayers, the rebels. I say this to moms and dads tonight, all of us tonight, that have children and grandchildren. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. So many moms and dads tonight, if their youngin's not on drugs, if it's a girl and she's not pregnant, if it's a boy and he doesn't have somebody pregnant, those are the bad things, so to speak. The drugs, the alcohol, the sex culture. If I can just keep them out of that. Let me tell you something else that's bad. Rebellion. It's as the sin. You say, preacher, what are you talking about tonight? I'm talking about a contrast in the book of Jude. And I'm talking about blurring the lines. And if we're not careful, they'll get blurred in our home. Sometimes, listen to me, I'm trying to be polite tonight. I've actually lived this out. Sometimes, Brother Steve, what bothers us the most is what embarrasses us. We're bothered about our children when it's something that embarrasses us. Or something that if it's made public will embarrass us. But I wonder tonight if it wouldn't be a whole lot better to be bothered because it blurs the lines. because the aim and point is no longer clear, because the alignment, lining up with the Scripture, is no longer happening. My wife is a wonderful lady. And a while ago, on the way to church, she said something. She said, "Honey, you need to remember the kids are back in school." That was a very kind and polite and nice way of saying, "Don't preach till 8:30 tonight. So you know what I think? I see absolutely no hope of getting done. I think we'll just unhinge. Give us some time to think about the lines. Give us I tell you what happens, Brother Rose, when revival comes. The lines become clear. Brother John, you may not have this problem, because I know when you put two pieces of wood together, it's perfect. Used to be that way in my life. Used to, I'd take a tape measure, walk over in that corner and measure a piece of trim, walk back over here and mark a piece of trim and put it on the saw and cut the piece of trim. And when I went back over there, Brother John, I didn't need any caulking. Somebody help me tonight. That's the way it used to be. Lots of times you had to take the hammer and just tap it in place. If you put a sheet of paper between the two surfaces, you would have had to tear the paper to pull it out. That's the way it used to be. He said, "Preacher, what's happened to you?" Several things. Number one, I can't see like I used to see. So I read the tape measure was eyes that can't see what they used to see. I marked the board with eyes that can't see what they used to see. And then I saw the line with eyes that can't see what they used to see. And so, at least most of the time, and I don't know if I'm leaning that way unconsciously or subconsciously, but at least most of the time, I need to cut a little more off to make it work. When you get in troubles when you cut it off three times and it's still too short. You're laughing, Johnny. Your day's coming. It's hard to hear. Okay. I wouldn't let Johnny build me a doghouse, would you? Well, he's laughing at me tonight. Amen. Be like Brother Long. He got up one time and down there at Liberty Baptist Church and told him he had been working on a cat house all day. And he really was. He didn't think nothing about it. For him, the line was clear. But for them, it was blurry. Amen. So that vision, that focus. When I look down at this Bible, if my life depended on it, I couldn't read that chapter without these. No way. Really doesn't matter, Brother John, how big it is. That's not what it is. It's how clear. I put these on and the edges of the letters get sharp. I take them off and it's a bunch of fuzzy lines. The Bible said where there's no vision, Amen. The people perish. Brother Steve, I think we should be proud as God's people that we fit in verse 1, 2, and 3, in verse 20 through 25, and that we don't fit in the middle of this with the ungodly. But I think if we're so proud that we're not burdened for the ones in the middle. Somebody help me. Paul said he could wish himself accursed from Christ. I believe that's because the lines were clear in his life. He said, "For my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." He said, "I would give up my spot in the kingdom if I could see Israel saved." I don't think Paul just said things flippantly. I think he said that from his heart, and I think he meant it from his heart. Tonight, there's a whole lot of people in this world that tonight are ungodly, that need someone like you and need someone like me to show them the love of God. All of them aren't going to cross over, but some of them will. How many remembers a day in your life when you were ungodly? Let me read a verse and I'll be done. I got it committed to memory, but it's not coming right now. Let's see. Somebody can help me with it tonight. It's over in Romans 5. I can look it up, but I want to try to get it. It's over in Romans 5. But God, here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Doesn't it say for the ungodly? Is that what it says? Christ died for the ungodly. How many's glad you come tonight?